This is the Better Life, Better Work show, and I'm your host, Allison Crow. I'm an intuitive life and business coach and an irreverent priestess with modern soul medicine for the everyday extraordinary woman or man, and I'm here to help you create better life and better work. This show covers topics on thinking and mindset, business and life strategy, and of course, spirituality and energetics as well. You're listening to the Better Life, Better Work show. More is not better, better is better. Hey gang, we're live. Allison Crow here with the Better Life, Better Work show, and this is episode number 30. And I have asked one of my favorite girl and business crushes, Heidi Taylor, to come be on. Now, y'all know I run around Facebook, and Heidi is, I tell all my clients, if you want to know how to do Instagram well, and if you're an instrovert, if you're an instrovert, there's a new term for you.
That's totally me.
If you're an introvert, it doesn't matter if you're an introvert or extrovert, but you just do such an amazing job of curating and caring for your clients and then converting to business on Instagram. And I remember asking, we were talking something, I don't even remember where it was, but you're like, I don't get any clients from Facebook. I get all my clients from Instagram. And I was just blown away because I'd never gotten any from Instagram. So I want to introduce Heidi Taylor. Oh. She's a relational sales coach. Y'all take that in for a second. Relational sales. Think about what you think that means. I also call her, an achieving introvert. Which means even though you're introverted, I see you out there doing and creating and doing and creating. You're not using your introvertness to be shy. An introvert to us doesn't mean shy. You're actually out there connecting at a deeper level. So what is relational sales?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. I mean, and calling me an introvert.
I'm going to write that one down. That's a fun introvert. New hashtag.
I think it's kind of perfect for me. So relational sales for me is very much me using my superpowers, which is how can I relate to people? And it ends up ending in a sale for me. Mm-hmm. So it's not sales first, it's relationship first, mm-hmm. sales later, mm-hmm. Which is for me a beautiful way to make it happen, mm-hmm. Using my gifts and just being who I am rather than trying to put something on. You know, as a lot of my clients are creatives and also very giving and relationship-based people. And to be fake, to get a sale, just feels like the last thing any of us would want to do. So using relationship strengths really is just this beautiful way to have sales happen, right?
Right. So let me, what is, when you say most of my clients are creatives, can you elaborate more on that?
Yeah, totally. So maybe a better way to say it even is non-linear thinkers. Mm. my clients would probably drive a regular business coach in circles because, you know, we just think a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. Also, my clients are very, you know, giving oriented and need to manage because they're so relationship oriented. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, how do I use that? But not overuse it so right. that I, you know, I end up being my client's best friend. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Right.
But it can be hard to sell once you cross that line of, oh, we're BFFs.
Right.
Right. And so I work with a lot of photographers, you know, coaches, people in the helping professions, mm-hmm. People who are sort of relationship first people, very mm-hmm. much.
Yeah, very much. It's so in line with soulful success, right? It's like, yes, we want to have success. We want to have business, but we are not going to do this at the expense of systematic, linear
right.
shtick.
Yeah.
It's not directional, it's heart-based. Yeah. And so that's the other thing is I think a lot of times, I don't think people realize, well, maybe I don't know what they realize, but sales is a skill, sales skills, sales conversation, sales language. Right. And we all kind of know the overinflated hyperbole. I don't know if that's the right word. I think it's the right word. Like just this over-exaggeration of traditional sales. like the used right. car salesman person. But that's one of the things I witness you do so well is you don't even realize, and not in a, it doesn't feel like you're being sold. It generally, and there's nothing artificial about it, but as a trained sales, as a trained sales trainer, I can see you're very specific. Like you are so good. I was going to your website this morning and you're just so good at making the ask, but it doesn't feel like a sale. It's like, come into my kitchen and let's have a cup of coffee together and see if we like each other. Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's amazing to me. And so often my clients are marketing and selling passively and you're opening the door to the to the relationship, not to the sale. And
that's right.
And that can feel really good for these people. So that makes me super happy. Is there anything else you want to say about your work before we start to play? What are your tips for better life and better work?
I don't know. I so love this conversation of how can we just build relationships with people in business and be people. And we'll, you know, who doesn't know if somebody's a right fit for them or not, right? I mean, sometimes it takes a little bit of parsing it out, like getting to know someone. But I think, you know, a sale can pretty naturally happen as long as we're sort of watching for some of the clues that people are giving us, right? Are they interested? Do they need help or this service or this offering? You know, some of those pretty... you know, somewhat obvious things, right?
Well, because we're such givers, I think we're also like people like you and I, if we want something, we'll go get it. But a lot of people won't, right? So a lot of people are introverts that are waiting to be asked. So I have a gal, and if you end up watching this, Angela, I know I need to follow up with you and set an appointment. But Angela sent me a message. She watches some of my card readings, and she was like, you know, if you ever want to do individual readings, I'd pay $100 for one. I said, okay, let's set one up. I mean, it's not necessarily something I sell, but it is something I do. And if, you know, but she was like, she's a marketing expert herself. And she's like, you know, if you ever offered this, I would buy it. Right. So I appreciate her boldness, but what is it about me that's not going, if I'm willing to do it, saying, hey, by the way, if you'd like to, you know, when I do those, if you'd like a personal one of these, they're $100.
Right.
What, you know, and so we forget to ask. And that's one of the things I see that you do so gently, yet with strength, the gentle strength.
Nice. Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. I feel like, you know, so often the conversations I have with my clients and even with myself, which is how can I just invite them in to say yes to something? And the more little yeses that happen in a conversation, you know, the more courage and confidence it gives us to ask another question, right? And so a sales question really isn't any different than how are you? Right? It really doesn't need to be. And it gives your client lots of permission to say no.
And the permission to say no makes you want to say yes.
Yeah.
I'm working with that with my advertising people and I get it. I so get that. I know I've taken enough classes. You probably have too, because you and I are both big time. We're constantly learning. Like you just sent me something that I'm joining and I can't wait to learn alongside with you. but we love to, I mean, we like to keep, that's the intellectual part of our brain that just because we're heart centered doesn't go away. I lost my train of thought on this. Where was I going? Maybe I wasn't supposed to go there.
You're talking about taking courses on
Right. Oh, okay. So I know all the traditional, like these are seven elements that every sales page must have. And one of those is like this, create this sense of urgency. And I told them like, there's all these incentives and like with my program, I have some bonuses, but the bonuses are really just to be a blessing. They're not meant to, they're just like, oh, and I get this. They're not meant to be the persuasion. They're meant to be a blessing on top of the original offer. And then like, if I have a real deadline, I don't mind saying, hey, just, you know, to serve my clients, hey, I'm going to close things down in September so I can chill out. So I can quit selling for a few months. And that's a real deadline, but I don't feel good about creating false pressure or, you know, learn. I think one of the other things is learning how, I do believe that addressing clients' fears and problems and pains. We've got to learn how to do that in a soulful, in a relational way, and not in a grind it to you way.
Yes.
Right? Like, yeah. I don't want to manipulate that. I love my friend and coach that I'm working with right now, John Morgan, says, is it useful? And I want to be soulfully, mindfully, relationally useful, not just useful.
Right. Yeah. You know, I'm so much about, instead of sort of picking on someone's pain points, just really meeting them where they're at with it. Yeah. Like, I feel this with you. I see this. I hear that this is happening for you.
Yeah, you're good.
And just describing it from a place of like, I really feel it too.
Yeah. I'm just acknowledging you. You're not alone.
Right.
This is normal.
Yeah. So I'm not grinding it into somebody. I just really want to meet them where they're at.
Yeah.
Which is what we do in a relationship naturally. Right. And that can be selling, and that's the coolest part, is it doesn't have to be aggressive and filled with deadlines and lack and yelling at people and or manipulating them. Like, all of that crap drives me crazy.
Well, and then when we get tempted, you know, I mean, sometimes I get insecure or I get frustrated and down. I had a conversation with a gal yesterday. She's a colleague of mine, and she was talking about being an entrepreneur. And I said, what's your definition of an entrepreneur? And she said, somebody who gets everything they want. And I said, honey, it's actually the opposite. It's somebody who very often doesn't get what they want and keeps going.
Yeah.
Right. Like, but it's that thing. It's like, we don't see all the stuff behind the scenes. And so we're thinking that it just happens. We don't realize that somebody has maybe gone through a very extensive process to understand how to, we've got to learn how to speak to our people. And that's one of the things I just love about you. And I'm still determined to sign up for your, what's it called? Your sales audit. I need to do that. I just should do that right after this, is sign up for your sales audit and get it on the calendar. I'm going to do that while I have a little money.
I think what you're saying is so important. And so much of that is built into my process with my clients, which is like, first of all, who are you as a person? What are your strengths? And then how can we use those to play to the sales conversation and set it up for you to win? Not win the client, but like feel confident and resourced and prepared to create this experience for your client and for you that feels really good. Does it have to feel like pulling teeth? You know, what does that look like?
Right? I had this experience with you as you talk. I'm remembering this experience. And so there's a part of me that wants to be something I'm not because I admire it. There's a part of me that like wants to have one of these beautiful curated Instagram feeds. Now I could hire somebody to do that for me.
Yeah.
But who I am is spontaneous and a ballroom. I'm like the Renaissance woman. And I like your Facebook feed is so beautiful. And that is so like your home is decorated like your Facebook feed. That is your, that is, you're not just making a beautiful feed because, but that's just the way you are. Your makeup and the clothes you wear, like they're in alignment with the posts that you do. Like you really are your brand, and your brand is a little bit more organized than I am. It's a little bit more methodical and certainly gorgeous. And I remember one day, like sometimes I'm like, oh, I want to be that. And you go, no, Allison. And this was just in an Instagram chat. You're like, your Instagram feed is so you and it's so your brand. And it was just such a nice reminder that like, let's say I were your client, you're never going to tell me to do that because you see and you know me. And you'd be like, Allison, they fucking laugh at you. Right. Same as if you wore one of those tube dress and pantyhose. Like, it's just not you, sweetie. Like, keep. And so every time I remember that, and I posted something yesterday, because on Instagram for me started with dogs. And now I'm obsessed with following the curly girl hair method. I'm obsessed with following hashtag houseplants. There are certain things that I love looking on Instagram that have nothing to do with my business, but I'm such a part of my business. I can't help but sharing that I'm trying out a keto diet with my clients and they're loving, like, oh, that's creating engagement too. So let's switch to Instagram because I'm not the Instagram expert. That's just a little playground. I love it. But tell me what you love about Instagram. Tell me, Just all the things, please. Instagram, all the things.
Yeah. So I do not profess in any way to be an Instagram expert. Like, I don't have the highest count of followers, and I'm totally cool with that. I mean, hey, if you want to come follow me, awesome. I'm not asking people not to follow me. But certainly my goal with Instagram isn't to get the most followers, to be Insta-famous, none of that. My goal with Instagram is I feel like it's my home, mm-hmm. right? Like, I feel like for you, I mean, you're loving Instagram. Facebook is totally your home. Like, you're mm-hmm. just, you're hanging out and you love it. Mm-hmm. I feel most like mm-hmm. myself when I'm hanging out on Instagram. Mm-hmm. I've tried some of the other social networks, and I don't have that same feeling. Mm-hmm. So that's a big part of it for me, is I can be the most myself there. And then the people that I connect with, I mean, to me, Instagram is so much about connecting with other people. It's not about, I mean, I'm sure there are certain places on Instagram where you can find great places to, you know, have political discussions, and there's great places to, you know, talk about hair. There's great places to, like, you can find whatever you need on Instagram. Mm-hmm. But it's really about making it what's going to work for you.
Right.
And that's simply all I've done. I am not a photographer. I don't have skills when it comes to that. So I'm curating my feed to work for my own aesthetic eye. Mm-hmm. It's not what you're supposed to do. Your brand isn't supposed to necessarily reflect, right? If you talk to a branding expert, I'm doing it wrong.
Well, I am too, but but we're both doing it right for ourselves.
That's right.
This is the whole thing about soulful success too. It's like, so we can learn from the experts, but our job is to rework the recipe.
Yeah.
And if that means we break a few of the recipe rules, like I made tzatziki sauce with sour cream instead of Greek yogurt, and it worked just fine. Who knew?
Right.
So you have the right to be sour cream instead of Greek yogurt.
Yeah. I mean, if I had to run my business the way that everyone on the internet asked me to run it, I would not be in business any longer. I would have had a nervous breakdown because it just doesn't line up with who I am.
Repeat that again for these people, because that's one of the most valuable things I think anybody could take away from this conversation. Mm-hmm. So y'all listen and write this down.
Yeah. If I had to run my business the way they tell me on the internet that I should be running it, I would absolutely have had a nervous breakdown, and mm-hmm. I would no longer be in business. I would not have clients. I would be, I would not be who I am mm-hmm. today. Not that, you know, I'm doing what really works for me. Mm-hmm. Certainly, there's some strategy involved in that, but my strategy is like, how can I be authentic? Mm-hmm. How can I connect with the people who connect with my message, and how can I help them, invite them into the conversation? And if they want to be a client, great. And if they just end up being somebody that I'm always communicating back and forth with, like you, I mean, I've known you because of Instagram and Facebook mm-hmm. for a while. And to me, like, it's an amazing connection to have. We wouldn't be having this conversation. Yeah. So, that's the beauty of connecting on Instagram for me.
Right.
Not everybody is a sale.
I do love that you do invite everybody. And it's what I receive when I see your invitations. It's an invitation for me to consider something. It's not an invitation to buy, but you're really good. I've got to take off my earrings. They're bagging my headset. You're making this invitation on so many things. And so many of us, especially when we're heart centered, we are not making the invitation. And when I teach sales, I try to teach it. I use that word too. I don't say close the sale. I try not to say call to action. Sometimes I teach them the traditional mm-hmm. words are call to action, but all you're really doing is making an invitation.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And we've all invited somebody over to our house or had a party and invited people. And if somebody said no, we didn't get offended.
Yeah.
And y'all, so if anything, go watch Heidi's feed and her stories mm-hmm. and notice how you feel, whether you align with her work or not, but notice how you feel when she makes an invitation. I guarantee you, you're going to go, oh, that didn't hurt at all. That wasn't gross. That wasn't like, I could do that. Right.
Right. Yeah. It's simply like, it's just a yes or no question. Would you like to know more? Would you like to connect in direct message? Would you like to, do you have a question I can answer?
Do you have a question? Yeah. Isn't that funny? Also, that new Instagram feature came out and it was like where you could have people ask you a question. I was like, nobody's going to want to ask me a question. And I just made this assumption and it was so silly, right? But right? I love that you just, I can feel, so I hear your words, but I feel your self-confidence and your self-trust, and there's so much soft strength in it.
Thank you.
And I think that's really attractive to all kinds of people, but especially to introverts who,
yeah,
like we're walking around the world, like, don't get too close to me.
Well, it's such an interesting, it's interesting, right? Because I feel like the message that we're maybe sending is like, you know, don't come too close, but I do want intimacy.
Yeah, of course.
Right? I don't want like just shallow conversation. I want intimacy, but like I really need it to be in a way that I can manage it. Right? How can I manage my energy? How can I accept your energy without it taking me, you know, into places that feel exhausting? And you know, like at the end of the day, that's how I set up a sales conversation, is like, you know, how can I create that container where it's going to be really helpful and respectful of both of us, mm-hmm. our time, our energy, right? Because, you know, I really respond well to, you know, someone who shows up and can really work with what's, with what I've offered them, right? I give people like a questionnaire. I think there's about 10 questions I have them ask before we meet. Mm-hmm. And I do that so that I can prepare, because I'm an introvert. I like to like go pore over what they've answered for me. Mm-hmm. Look at, okay, what do I need to know to prepare for this conversation?
Right? You really do listen. I mean, call it Heidi listening, and that's not just a thing. You really, I mean, we talked yesterday about doing this and I was like, God, Allison, you just yapped and she just listened. And you listen with your whole being. And I think so many people aren't used to that. I have one question. I see you do that and I see on your website and I'm like, my automatic fear brain response is, holy shit, she probably has to have so many damn calls. Like, how do you filter? Because I think you're so amazing. I think you would have hundreds of people, you know, that might not be a fit. I don't know, maybe, but I guess the scarcity, as an introvert, yeah. I don't like to fill up my days with calls. And so I'm real slow to hop on the phone.
Yeah, me too.
And that could be, okay, that could be doing a disservice. But when I see all that, I think, wow, she must, I don't know, your mindset about that. What, yeah. How do you filter? So I realize that question probably doesn't serve me because it comes from fear, but I think other people might be going, well, I can't just open up my calendar like that. Yeah. So can you help us see the process from the invitation? So you said you have a question, like you have, it sounds like you have a filtering process before that appointment ever happens.
Totally. Yeah. So, and it's funny, it's one of the things I wrote down as my better work tips was like, buffers make life easier for me. Mm-hmm. And one of my buffers is, you know, if you want to have a conversation, I'm totally down for that, but I need you to answer these questions so that I can study mm-hmm. your answers and prepare myself mm-hmm. to bring the best of what I have to offer to you. And so those questions, there are people who have come to my questions and they say, I'm not ready to have a conversation yet because I can't even answer the questions. And it's not that they're like super intense questions, but you know, you have to know so much about your business mm-hmm. and about your sales process, mm-hmm. like have enough insight mm-hmm. that you can answer the questions and feel like, okay, you know, I kind of know what I'm entering into when I have a conversation with Heidi. Yeah. And so I feel like my questionnaire sort of does us both a huge service, mm-hmm. right? It helps prepare my client's mind. They kind of know what to expect mm-hmm. and then I can do my homework on them.
Yeah.
You know, and prepare myself. And I feel like it's a really respectful process. Mm-hmm. So that's a great buffer for me. Like, people, I don't have hordes and hordes of people signing up because they see that and they go, lots of people are on their phone and they go, holy, I don't have time to answer these questions right now.
Yeah.
And so
you're not getting pick your ear sessions.
No. Because the people who really want to be there, they mm-hmm. see that it's on their phone and they don't have the time to like answer them, come back when they have a mm-hmm. chance. Right. They're the ones who are like, okay, I'm ready.
Yeah.
You know, they're not picking my brain. They're not just wanting to, you know, sort of get to know me.
I do that with my one-on-one. I'm like, oh, I need you to, you know, even if they come not through my website, I was like, so great. What I do before I set up, you know, I have some conversation relationship with them. And then when we're ready to get on the phone, I ask them, I said, please read this page carefully. It's about my one-on-one coaching. And I said, then there's an application. And as soon as that comes across, and it gives me lots of information, and a lot of those are qualifying questions. Mm. And so whether I'm doing it on my website or whether I'm doing every once in a while, I offer some gift sessions online, or I've done a thing where, like, if you're willing to do this right here on a coaching session, it's my gift to you. But one of the questions I always ask is, how are you, like, if you've got a struggle or a frustration or a block, how are you responsible? And what have you tried so far? Nice. And if there's a victim, and if there's a, then I'm sorry, those slots have filled. And that's what I say, those slots have filled. Okay. And it's not somebody for me that's going to run and blame it, but I love to get the answers that are like, this is what I'm drinking, this is what I'm learning. Like, they come to me with their answers because I am not an answer machine.
Right.
I can be, and I have been in the past as a giver. Yeah. I've learned how to only mostly give what serves my client's power. And so doing those kind of filters and applications. And I noticed yesterday, actually, when I joined this program with you that I am, it's another membership program. I have a membership program, and it's very relational. And I was telling Heidi, I don't know anybody that does this. And she goes, I do. And so I was like, I'm signing up, not only for the information, but I want to see how this person, you know, one of my goals is the more people it gets, actually, the more intimate it gets. Yeah. I want to have the opposite experience. And one of the things I loved and I thought about doing was, she has an application, and it's a very affordable, under $60 program for the premier level. And she has an application process. And I was like, ooh, that's sexy. Mm. Right. Even if she lets everybody in, just the fact that it's like, we'll send you an invitation when we're ready.
Yeah.
And it's not just automatic. And that way you can filter. Some people, maybe you go and you research and you're like, you know, God bless you, not a fit.
Yeah.
Because I've had the experience of some people come in. I had one girl recently, and I so appreciated her communication and her honesty. So she saw the webinar. She immediately signed up. She came in the group and was talking and communicative, and she had done one of the bonus things and was like, I love this class. And then we had the first call, and I noticed that 20 minutes in, she dropped off. And when I got off the call, she had said, this program is not for me. Would you please refund my money? I've only been in it 5 minutes. And I said, absolutely. And I normally don't ask when someone leaves why they leave.
Sure.
And I said, would you mind giving me feedback? You seem so excited. And she's a very fast mover. And she was like, oh, I thought you all had Land Rovers and we're moving really fast. And she happened to come to a money call where we're talking about money blocks. And and she was just like, no, man, I run with the rich gals. And I got it. And I get it, right? Like, she listened to the webinar fast. Yeah. She clued in on the fact that I used to have a Land Rover and I don't anymore. And that I now from a slow place. I walk from a slow place. But it was so perfect. And maybe there was a way to save her time by having something on the front end, like as they sign up, a reminder, you know, that these are the people, you're welcome to experiment, but these are the people who will really get something. And these are the people who won't.
To me, when someone creates this really intentional container, I sit up straight and I go, oh, I think, you know, this person knows what they're doing. I really want to be involved in something like that.
Yeah.
You know, it brings forth people who are ready and at the same, you know, place to grow as you are. And, you know, there's great value in that.
Yeah.
It's not for everyone.
Right.
I'm not suggesting.
We don't want it to be for everyone.
Yeah. Totally. Exactly.
So thanks for clearing that up about, you know, isn't it funny? And this is what we do, you guys. I think this is what I was referring to before. It was the context. I don't remember the details, but the context is that all of us, and I see those of you who are watching and those of you on the podcast who are listening, obviously it's most likely you're either my mom or you have some business context in your life, right? Because, or maybe you're an introvert. but that we're always comparing our insides and our private experience to people's outside and public experience. And so that's the thing. I look at your website and I have a public experience that isn't the truth. Mm-hmm. And if I don't check my brain or ask you more questions, if I don't get clarity both in me and in you, then I misunderstand. And so whether it's a website or an ad or this conversation, slow down, friends. Yeah. Even if you're an extrovert, slow down like us introverts and lovingly analyze it. Don't analyze it with fear, but get curious, right? What do I not know about Heidi's systems that makes it easy for her, right? Because obviously I know that you wouldn't do that to your calendar. So thank you.
Oh my gosh. I wouldn't be in business if I was on calls all the time. I'd be under my desk, like trying to recover. You know,
I love that.
I just really have to honor, you know, my energy.
And that gives permission for so many people to do it. I was talking with one of my co-coaches. She was here earlier and then she was going to have to watch the replay after 11:30. But she said she's a very directional and fast moving person. And I know her from the real estate world. And she's like, I always love talking to you because you slow me down. And so she's like, normally on Friday, I go run errands and I've decided to be slow like Allison. And I told her, like, this weekend, I said, I feel you. Things have gone so fast. And so this weekend, I am going to intentionally check out of business. I have a lot of things I could do, and most weekends I don't. But slowing down, getting some space, that self-care, nurturing our souls and what our soul is thirsty for actually is the path to the profitable practice.
Creative practice,
coaching practice, real estate practice, photography practice, whatever it is.
I mean, if I'm not connected to what's going to help me be my best self, mm-hmm. it's not pretty. Right. It's not pretty for me.
Let's play Better Life, Better Work.
Yeah.
So which do you want to do first, work or life?
Well, here's the thing, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think you can really separate the two.
I don't either. I love it. So I told Heidi I was going to ask her two best tips for better life and her two best tips for better business, better work. So let me just let you share whatever in the way that you want to share.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. I just noticed this about myself, like how I show up for my life. Mm-hmm. It's how I show up for my sales conversations. Mm-hmm. It's how I show up for my business. It's how I show up in my relationships. Mm-hmm. And so again, it's like, how can I honor my natural ways of being?
Okay.
And for me, it's all about, you know, I think I experience my world through observation and listening first. Mm-hmm. Like I can, I think because I'm an introvert, like it's just how I'm wired. I need mm-hmm. that time to sort of, you know, I'm the person that enters the party and like wants to be at the back and watch what's going on.
I don't even want to be at the party.
Right? So that I can kind of like, okay, what's the energy in the room? Who's the most extroverted, wild, loud person? Mm-hmm. You know, who's having a quiet conversation? Where can I slip in mm-hmm. and position myself for, you know, the best possible outcome for me? Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much how I view everything, business and life. Mm. You know, I think I had a lot of trouble in school as a kid. Mm. And so I think it gave me a lot of time to look at, okay, here are all the things that position me very poorly, right? When you feel like you're sort of you're coming from a position of deficits, you're like, okay, I really need to pay attention to what makes me work.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm doing all these things that are not really honoring and respecting the way I am. So how can I build that into my experience so that I feel confident and good about who I am rather than trying to, you know, fit into the system? Like, I'm a natural rule breaker that way.
What I hear you doing though, is you're not using that as an excuse. You're using it as a pivot to ask a new question.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
So you're not going, oh, I'm introverted, I can't do that. You're going, well, what can I do that fits me that also works?
Yeah, totally.
And I just want to caution for all of us. One of the big things I talk about is outsourcing discomfort and the ways that we can we can use our habits for us, or we can start to use our habits or our personality as an excuse, right? And so to use these things with purpose and precision doesn't let it stop you. So I'm curious to ask you, is there something in business or in life that you have learned, and when you first approach it, like you were like, whoa, not that it wasn't authentically you, because this is the other, I don't want people to go, I'm introvert, I can't learn that. Because sometimes there are skills that we have got to learn that, I remember one of my friends go, oh, you haven't even given yourself the possibility that you might enjoy it. Yeah. And so of course, it's like somebody did a Facebook Live yesterday for the first time. And she was like, oh my God, I don't know that I liked it. And I said, honey, it's like sex. You've only done it once. And I remember you, I remember kind of loving on you and saying, put your darling face on your Instagram and would you please go live or use stories? Yeah. And now you do that. And at first you were like, So do you have something like that, that you're not so sure of at first, but then you check in, you're like, okay, I can give this a try. And then all of a sudden, you're like, that was awesome.
I mean, everything I do in business, I swear. Like, I would say all of the sort of business, sort of business savvy things that someone needs to do to sort of have a system running in their business, that stuff is hard for me. It's not my favorite thing to do. If I could, I would just spend my time listening and coaching clients all day, right? But the reality is, like, having a business like I do, I'm a solo business. You know, I have to be the brand and the face of my business. So like doing a Facebook Live with you, this is my first ever, you know,
you're doing fantastic.
Thanks. I would normally not ever want to show up on Facebook again. It's not where I feel at home. So anything where I have to really put myself out there in terms of like, here's what I think, here's what I believe, it's a real challenge for me. But having a business, you have to, you know, lay your stake into the ground and say, okay, this is what I stand for. And so, you know, I started out hating sales, thinking there's no way I'm ever going to be able to ask anyone to pay me anything. And here I am talking about it all the time.
What was the turning point? Do you have a moment, or was it slow and over time?
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, it was slow. It was, at the time I was in a mastermind group that was really helpful. And I found myself coaching my mastermind buddies around sales. And they were like, you know, you're really good at this. And I was like, I feel like I'm on fire when I'm talking about it. It's so exciting. And I was like, that's really weird. But I think I was able to make the connection for me around how can I really show my relationship strengths and make a sale? And if I can bring those two things together, I'm golden.
There you go. Y'all see that? The most recent comment that I see on my thing, MA says, I love that quote. I'm not an answer machine. And if you look at Heidi, she's a listening machine, an observation machine, and she asks better and better questions. And so this is one of the things that I was always trained is like, when you are presented with a problem, ask better questions. When a client brings you a question, get them to ask better questions. And I love how you ask yourself better questions. And that's not a skill. I mean, that takes practice and you have to, God bless. Somebody asked me a question about something I'd shared on the live. And I said, watch the live. And she goes, I watched the whole live. And then she asked me a question and the whole live was about how I research. I'm not doing the research for you. I'm not your answer machine. Learn how to, this is what's empowering, right? Like, and so just watching you, I learned so much from you, how, here we go again, who you be in the world begins to affect what you do.
Yeah, totally.
Ooh. Okay. I want you to go back to that. So you said like the systems, can you share one specific hellacious system that you made yourself learn because you're determined to do this business well for yourself? And the reason is I want to show people, sometimes we're so vague and we know, you and I know, but somebody new is approaching that technology or approaching that, you know, funnel, for lack of better words, or whatever it is. What's one example of those very specific that like you're so glad you implemented, but boy, was it a pain in the butt.
Yeah, I just finally, after 6 years of being in business, in this business, I finally got my taxes together. Mm-hmm. Like not just my taxes, but I actually have a system. I know exactly where every receipt goes. I am not a spreadsheet person. Mm-hmm. I look at them and I go numb. I don't even know what to do with them. Mm-hmm. I have a spreadsheet that every week I put my expenses and my income in my spreadsheet. And I can't even tell you, I feel like a proper adult now mm-hmm. in my business because I tackled, you know, every year it's like, what can I tackle this year mm-hmm. that can, if it takes me 4 months, 6 months, or a year to learn it, it's mm-hmm. my thing. Mm-hmm. And so last year it was like, how can I finally properly get all of my business numbers in order mm-hmm. in a way that so I wouldn't be embarrassed about, right?
Well, the worst part of that is being embarrassed about how, and I don't know how taxes in Canada are, but for us in America, it's like you have a really good year. And because you haven't paid attention to that stuff, you mm-hmm. either leave money on the table or you don't realize how much you owe.
That's right.
And yep. so by paying attention to that, what's like, this is new for me. So I've always committed to pay quarterly and then I would run out of money and not do it. But I've started the profit first thing.
Great.
And so literally everything that comes into my bank account, whenever I deposit it, I automatically take 30%, which is way more. But then I look at my reports.
Yeah.
And so like I paid first quarter and second quarter. And because I've spent so much in my business, I don't need to pay third quarter because the amount of paid in right. taxes is equivalent to my current net. If I didn't know my current net by yeah. learning that, I would have been sending the government money that I can use to pay for those. Right. right? Like, and so knowing that, oh, I just get chills and it makes me so happy. And I get it. It took me a long time to learn. But then all of a sudden you're like, guess what? I know my numbers. Like the numbers are sexy when yeah. we use them, not abuse them. Oh, that makes me so happy for you.
Yeah, yeah. It was very. It's incredibly. You know, you feel powerful as a person mm-hmm. every yeah. time you can sort of say, "This thing feels really, you know, uncomfortable. It's not working for me. I'm barely making it work. How mm-hmm. can I completely turn it around?" And mm-hmm. Be a superstar at it. And, you know, if you, I mean, I don't know, superstars may be a bit strong.
Well, but I think you do feel, I remember this, it was probably 97 and I was, so I was on the internet for anybody was, I met all my husbands there before there was ever anything to meet husbands on. People thought it was creepy. And I lived out in the country and I remember having, I had bought a computer, it was 100 megahertz computer, Hewlett Packard from Sears. And I connected through AOL. And I had Quicken, and Quicken would actually connect to my bank account.
Yeah.
And so I would sit in and put things in the register. And this was part of me. I'm a big girl now. I have my own house. I need to watch my budget. I'm living on unlimited expenses. And I saw that I was spending $200 a month at the time on Starbucks. And I immediately bought a $23 coffee maker and started making coffee at home. And yeah. Since then, I probably can count. You know, every once in a while I have a treat, but there's no need for me to buy a $5 cup of coffee.
Yeah.
And, nice. And that was, I did feel like a superstar because that's 2,400 or 1,200. I was thinking in 2 years, that's $1,200 a year that I wasn't spending on Starbucks.
Yeah.
You know, that is empowering. That's a big deal, but we have to look at
it. So. It really, It took me a long time, like an embarrassingly long time to sort of, because I had to go back through and get everything sorted mm-hmm. over 6 years. I mean, it was somewhat sorted, but I wanted it to be sort of categorized and, you know, proper.
To really see the picture. Beautiful.
Yeah. And so I feel like I'm already set up for next year. Like, yeah, right. It's pretty amazing.
Right, yeah. Right. The new year starts in October, not in January. Right. We start right. planning for that stuff. I still have a long way to go, but I'm getting better and better. And I think it's willing to learn new things, right?
We're yeah.
willing to learn new things. That's one of my mantra. I can learn new things. I'm really good at this.
Well, I mean, and don't you find having a business, I always say it's personal development on steroids. You don't have a choice.
No, it is. It is I mean, one of the most amazing ways. Yeah, yeah. Right. A marriage or a partnership. And running a business are yeah. both personal growth, spiritual growth machines, right? They're mindset growth machines. It's amazing. It's amazing. Well, it's such an honor.
It's humbling when, you know, your finances or your clients or whatever is reflecting back to you things that you're like, whoa, I'm not sure I wanted to learn that just right yet. Right. Thanks so much.
It really is. That's why I kind of get stunned when I hear you talking, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it really, no matter how much I've heard it or been coached on it or coached my people, there are times when I forget that who you be shows up in your physical world. So it shows up in your money. It shows up in the language people use with you. And we're so often trying to change the outside world to make more money, to have a better relationship. Right. And it's like, oh, when I actually be free, then money comes in and I'm free to make choices. When I actually be supportive of myself, all of a sudden my business is supporting me more than it ever has.
Right.
Instead of waiting for my business to support me. It's a mind tumble for sure. And yet it's exquisite. It's this thing we can't not do, right? Like you can't not do it.
it's you know, torture in some ways that you know, self-inflicted.
Yeah.
Cause you're like, I love that. Like once you've got through that barrier or that challenging business dilemma, and then you look back and you go, that's amazing. I want more of that. You're like,
more please. Yes. That's one of my other mantras recently. Like things are working so well. My client Amy makes soul candies, and she made one that said, it's all happening. More please. It's all happening. More please. Nice. Right. Just to remember those gratitude expressions. Yeah. Okay. Anything about the personal side? I mean, I know that your person is your business, but like, what are your hobbies? What are you and your husband and what do you do for fun outside of relational sales and Instagram? Yeah.
What do I do for fun? You know, I work too much, and that's my next challenge is like, how can I step away more often from business and, you know, do some of my hobbies, some of the things that I really love to do. I mean, the one thing that I do every day is take my dog for a walk, mm-hmm. Which is, you know, healing on so many levels. Mm-hmm. It's lovely just to be in nature and connect mm-hmm. with my dog. And, you know, my husband and I go for a walk after work, and, mm-hmm. And I mean, I work from home. And so there's lots of times where my laptop's in my kitchen and I'm working, mm-hmm. being able to shut that stuff down, put it into, you know, the cupboard and walk away for the night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, is super important for me for sure.
It's hard though, because we can think about this stuff 24/7. And it's not that we're, you know, someone says, oh, how much do you work? Well, how much am I behind this computer and engaging with clients is one thing, but you know, I'm on that walk and I'm getting a new business idea. It just doesn't stop. And you said this earlier, like you have fur babies, and my business and my dogs are my babies. I did not have biological children. I got stepkids who are they're wonderful. And we just don't have the same kind of relationship that a mom does who's had children. Yeah. And I love this business. I watch her grow. I watch her have growing pains. I watch her fall on her ass. I watch her champion.
Yeah.
I started writing down today, like thinking, oh my gosh, like I'm preparing for year two of this program, and, mm-hmm. and I'm nurturing it. And so of course we think about it all the time. You know, my business is and we've made our business our hobby too. And as introverts, it's not like we're dying to get out of the house and go to the next social event.
Right. Yes, absolutely. Right. So
I enjoy my boring life. Sometimes on Instagram, I'm like, yeah, here's another picture of my dogs in my suburban backyard with absolutely zero plants. This is real life. And by the way, there's a neighbor three doors down whose house is exactly like mine. All is well. But it's funny, all really is well. I don't need to go to Bali anymore. I love Tulum and I've been there and I might go again, but I don't feel the need to have this exotic lifestyle for social media.
Yeah, I mean, it is a challenge sometimes when you work from home and you don't have this, you know, you're looking at the same things every day. And it's like, okay, well, what do I put on Instagram? Because, you know, all my pictures almost are all mine, except for the ones that are like more professional headshot ones. Those, of course, are not mine. I had those done. But like, you know, for the most part, it's like, how can I see my own life through a different lens mm-hmm. and show it to people? Because it ain't fancy.
No, but it has so much space and simplicity. And that's what I like. So looking behind you, is that your mantle? Y'all can't see it on the podcast. Oh, it's a shelf, but it has this like piece of driftwood on it. That's art.
Yeah. So my first career, I was a floral designer, and that's left over from my, yeah. So I was totally creative with my hands. I have lots of, you know, interesting wood objects around my house that are left over from my old business.
Well, in your house, sometimes you use your house to stage your photos. And you can't tell from my office, because my office is like, I still have the same desk I bought at my first house. And my desk is like 25 years old. And so we just went with that theme because it leaves more space for future Allison. But the rest of my house is really minimalist, like yours is. And you have some beautiful pieces of furniture. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm saying. It goes through your whole brand. And it's not like you turn around and your house is completely different than what you're putting on Instagram. But you've curated this, from my experience, you've curated this sense of peace and being. And like you said, you can't separate life and work into what are your two life and what are your two business. It's how can I honor my natural being? Yeah. And so you're just a delicious, I don't want to say perfect, because it's just you. You're not trying to be Martha Stewart. And yet I so sense the authenticity of the space and the listening.
Yeah. I mean, that to me, that's the most important thing. If I'm not showing an authentic version or view of my life and my business to sort of show my business, then, you know, I can't show up and be fully confident because I'd be hiding something. And to me, it's just that's not okay for me. So, you know, how can I keep it as aligned as possible? Mm. And, you know, there are people that will love that, and that's great. And there are people that won't, and they'll find what they need, you know?
I always say we don't want all the clients in the world. We really don't want 1,000 people today to say yes. That's a problem that we don't want to handle. So when it comes in these steady drips, it's so much better than a flood.
Yeah. I mean, that's my Instagram audience right there. They're loyal. Mm. You know, I don't have a massive following because, you know, the people who hang out there are loyal, and it's not about like my next flashy trip or my flashy sale.
It's quality over quantity. It's quality. And the quantity is just perfect. I remember that one of my mentors, well, actually my boss at the time when I left the big company, said, why would you leave 95,000 agents? And I was like, I just need 7 clients. I don't need 95. I don't want 95. Hell, I don't want 40 anymore at the time.
Right.
Yeah. So you guys, that especially if you have experienced business, and I have experienced business, and I'm going to hire you for this sales audit. What I love, and then I'll let you speak to what you offer anybody as we wrap up here. But what I love is that as an experienced business person, you're out there working, you're creating, you're doing best, and having someone listen and hear the way Heidi does and then reflect back to you what she sees that's working or that might be out of alignment with your expression that you don't even realize. And so that was that experience that I had with you about like, ooh, maybe I should clean up my Facebook feed or my Instagram feed. And you're like, do not do that. It's not you. Yeah. And that permission was so valuable. And so I highly recommend that one's called your sales audit, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do a sales audit. Yep. And that's sort of, it depends on where you're in business. If you, you know, you desire a reflection of you know, one of your social media feeds, you know, the audit is great for that. My main offering is 9 months of coaching with me.
Yeah.
That's what I sell the most of. It's, you know, it's intensive because it's 9 months of me reflecting back to you and guiding and supporting. And it's amazing and I love it. And so, you know, to do that, it's like, you know, you have to go through my process of just answering those questions, which help you say, okay, am I in the right place to have this conversation? You know, what many of the questions are sales related to help you see, okay, you know, where am I, you know, getting in the way of sales? Where do I think I could be changing things up? Mm-hmm. And then once you answer those questions, then we have a conversation. So it's I have a pretty simple business plan. I don't have a lot of bells and whistles, you know.
No, that's beautiful. And I hope the audience, both online and both in the podcast, online you can see Heidi's face. And if you're on the podcast, her face will be on my website too, where you can watch the video replay or on Facebook. But I hope you can, especially those of you who, when you hear the word sales, you cringe. And I hope that you'll really tune into, whether you call it the vibration or the essence, when Heidi talks about sales, doesn't it feel yummy? It doesn't turn your stomach. It doesn't create a constriction. And so you can see, hopefully you can see that there is this possibility to use the tool of sales, which, by the way, if you are in business, you are selling something, sweetheart, you are in sales. My husband applied for a job and I said something. I was like, you've never been. And I was like, oh, wait, you have been in sales. You were a teacher for 30 years. You were a teacher. So maybe he's not ever had a sales training course, but you sell writing to sixth graders. You're a sales pro.
Ooh, that's a tough crowd. No,
so, but just inviting those of you who, when you hear, oh, a sales conversation, that you might get a few little prickles, just to take a breath and really feel Heidi's energy as she talks about that and see if it's something like, oh, is this a path that could feel really, it could be helpful, it could be useful, and it could feel much better than I ever considered. Awesome. Right. So Heidi, we put up your at Heidi Listening on Instagram.
Awesome. That's the place to find me, you know. Yeah. Hit me up on Instagram, send me a direct message and you know, ask me a question, let's start a conversation. That's really my favorite. Really casual, you know. I don't invite people to go to my website and start the questionnaire until they know that that's the service they want. So, you know, hanging out with me on Instagram is really the best place to sort of find me and decide if, you know, you're interested in having a conversation. So, yeah.
Oh, let's take a breath together before we finish. I'm just so appreciative. So good to, after all these years, to actually interact with you face and voice to voice. We've always interacted through social media. And then all of a sudden it's like yesterday, it's like, wait, I aren't you coming over after this? Aren't we going to introvert together all weekend? So thank you so much for being not only on the podcast, but to get to the podcast, the live recording with all of our visitors. Those of you who are watching, thank you so much for watching. If you do have any follow-up questions, you can go ahead and put them in the comments. We appreciate replays, shares, tags of anybody you think that might. The Better Life, Better Work show, if you want to listen on the podcast, can be downloaded on any of your podcast apps. And we always appreciate love and shares there. Like you, it's like, I'm not trying to go for masses. I'm cultivating simple, slow, follow what feels good, follow what feels in alignment. And sometimes I question myself because I'm comparing my insides to some bigwigs outside. And then I read your, no, just be me and it's all working. So thanks again for being here today.
Thank you, Allison.
You're welcome.
Okay.
This show is Leroy Brown and Clementine approved. They're here to encourage you to think about adopting before you shop for your next pet. More is not better. Better is better.